Hot Tackle, episode 284, Game Informer Week Review for April 23rd, 2012. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Deathlink.
And again, G-Lewis is missing in action, but he will be back on our next episode, number 285.
Ooh.
So we will await his, say triumphant return, but we will await his return in high spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been dealing with some family issues recently, and he's just been taking some time off. And he will be back in full swing, I'm assuming. He will probably have lots to say for not being on the show for a while. So, This last week we got a whole slew of information from Game Informer related to Halo 4, most of which was multiplayer stuff, although there was an article that got released today entitled The World of Halo 4, but we're going to stray away from that as much as possible and focus on the Halo 4 campaign stuff for the next show. So we won't be talking about this article today, but if you do have opinions on it, make sure you do send them in to submissions@podtacular.com, and we will read them on the show. And speaking of which, we actually have submissions to read to you today. We don't have very many. We actually only have two unique individuals with submissions, but one guy I decided to send in just a bunch over the last week and a half. So we'll read through his as much as we can. We might skip over some stuff, but we also have some voicemails for your lovely ears as well to hear. But we wanted to go ahead and start off with talking about all the stuff that we learned from the Game Informer stuff that came out over the week. They pretty much, it seemed like they released something every day. Does that seem about right to you, Daft?
Almost every day, maybe every other day, more or less. But they certainly, I think they made it a point of like, oh, this is the Halo 4 week, show. We are the place for the premier Halo 4 news.
Right. It's almost like they got an exclusive thing.
Game Informer gets tons of exclusive things.
Yeah.
Oh no, the Game Informer gets exclusive like first look things all the time because they got the whole, the parent company GameStop to the money changing hands behind the closed doors. Oh, they get exclusive stuff like every issue.
Right, but there's other places that get exclusive stuff as well, like IGN and 1UP. So all these different media outlets get premier content at some point.
Yeah,
and it's just Game Informer got the lucky draw this time.
Right.
I wonder how much they pay to get the information. It must be
tons.
Ridiculous.
Astronomical. Yeah.
I can't imagine having that much money and just paying. It's like, okay, we're going to pay you this much just for this little bits of information. It's like, really? Are you that crazy?
Hey, man. Yeah, media, man.
If it gets them subscribers, I guess it works.
Yeah.
Granted, I've subscribed to Game Informer through my PowerUp rewards.
Yeah, same here.
Since my account doesn't work, I can't even view them.
Damn.
My Game Informer account, I have it paid for the digital subscription. I had it renewed actually 2 weeks ago, and I went from the paper version to the digital version, and I log onto the site, and I can't download it. It says to have a sign-in error.
Wait, you forgot? Oh, sign-in error. I don't know. Why don't you bring?
Well,
why don't you ask someone like at the store about that?
I called customer support, the customer support line that they had last Friday. So hopefully I'll hear something soon. They said they would look into it and call me back. They haven't done so yet, and I haven't tried logging in since then. But
yeah. Hopefully you hear back.
I'll try this week later and see if I get them back up. Cause, do you know how they deliver that, the digital issue? Is it strictly web based or is it a PDF?
Wait, the what issue?
The Game Informer issues. The digital.
I believe when you sign up for the card in the store, they ask you, do you want this?
Online? How do they deliver the digital content? Is it via PDF?
I assume it'd be a PDF. Yeah, some kind of viewing thing like that. You know.
Because if it's a PDF, I can just go in, extract the images with Photoshop and get some of the images off of there. That'd be pretty nice.
Yeah.
Because those images in there are usually pretty decent quality.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty good. Scans.
Also released their SparkCast this last week. I believe it was Tuesday. I don't remember the exact date that they released it.
I think somewhere in that ballpark.
They released the podcast and they cleared up a lot of details coming out from the Halo 4 edition of Game Informer. It's the May issue, yeah. But it's basically the Halo 4 edition.
Yeah.
More or less. With the whole leak and then everyone was covering it. Actually, we have over 7,000 hits on the leak show that we did. So it was a big deal. Yeah. It was a big deal.
People like leaks. I like leaks myself.
It's weird because the relationship I have now with 343, it's like, yeah, it's cool, but then again, it does kind of ruin the surprise of, well, now we know that information in it. I don't know. There's just something about the whole leak of information.
Yeah.
It's cool to have that knowledge, but then again, you have that sense of, well, now it's kind of ruined, where if it was just released on time, it's like, this is cool. So it takes a little bit of that hype away, I think, whenever leaks happen.
Right.
It's just one of those things in the world that we live in with everyone knowing people in certain places and getting things early. So I don't think I'm necessarily...
You gotta get the hook up, you know?
I probably not want to talk with my connections, but it is what it is. It's not like I try to go out and ask for secret information. It's
yeah.
I mean, people.
No, I know. You answer to the man. You are propped up by TARP Fund, which is the Republican Party itself. Republican Party boosters, you would have been out of business years ago. Rush Limbaugh, the General Motors of talk radio, would have been out of business years ago. Yeah, I know. I am the little guy. I am the underdog. I am the smallest one in the major leagues. And if you want to start a war with me, well, let's get it on, my friend.
Hang on. Well, enough of the political talk. We're here to talk Halo.
Okay.
But thank you for the...
I think Matt C. would be a Republican, by the way.
You think... Oh, really? Why you say that?
Because he's a soldier.
And soldiers are automatically...
Well, yeah, generally. I mean, all Democrats usually want to do is sing Kumbaya with the terrorists, so... Chief example being Jimmy Carter and Obama.
Okay.
He jives with Iran.
I don't think
Master Chief would jive with the Covenant. I mean, obviously by his actions in the game, with all the killing, he's quite the pro war, right? Pro victory.
You're coming from. Okay, I get it.
Okay.
Although we will have to ask 343 about the standings on Master Chief's political status. Although, I guess, and there goes my phone. Because all Master Chief knows is ONI and the UNSC. So, is there really parties involved in that universe? Well,
no, I'm sure there's political parties. I mean, they have. I mean, you know, military is military. You know, that's just military, right? I mean, like it is here. But I'm sure, like, as far as the United Nations itself, like the government and all that is, you know, I'm sure there's parties and yeah, of course there are laws and, you know, like legislature and, right?
I guess.
Now, is the UNSC the New World Order, right? Is it the One World Government, right? United Nations Space Command. But then at that point, wouldn't it be the new universe order, right? The one universe government. Yeah.
I would say Galactic first, but...
Right, well, yeah, right.
I'm not sure how to really address that. You found a way to just merge politics and Halo.
Well, I mean, you know, Halo is based off of, you know...
Yeah, I get
real human history, right? It's not like an outlandish fantasy. It's based off of, like, you know,
true
science fiction, more or less, you know, possible reality, right? So
you're right. That's true. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, moving along. So, what article do we want to talk about first? There were lots of articles and videos that got put out by Game Informer.
Mm-hmm.
The one that got released Friday, yes, because it was after the Thursday podcast that we did with the guys from Game Informer that actually got the hands-on for the multiplayer. I have to say, from what I heard from them, and I don't know what their reputation is over there at Game Informer. I don't know how big they are. But hearing from them that the game still feels like Halo is relief, I think, to many people.
Yeah.
That the game still looks like Halo, feels like Halo, plays like Halo, but it has the 343 twist on it, I think is a very good sign. And to everyone out there that's been uneasy on whether or not 343 is doing the right thing with Halo, I'm hoping that this comes as a relief to a lot of people out there, that Halo 4 is getting good reviews from Game Informer. And granted, it is only one source, but since Game Informer does have the exclusive, and they're being very optimistic about it, which coming from a news company, I think is a plus.
Yeah.
Because ratings are a big thing, and if they're getting good ratings from... Well, I say good ratings in very loosely in this case, because they're not really rating the game, but they're giving very positive opinions about...
Well, keep in mind, Game Informer, yes, there's like reviews, but as far as like, you know, previews and so forth, I mean, they and every other, you know, gaming media outlet is, you know, usually fairly positive about, like, at least, you know, before the game comes out, like how it looks and stuff. I mean, they have to be. They're not going to be all negative and, you know, depressing to read. You know, they want to attract people. I mean, they're going to be pretty positive about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of that is, you know, genuine Halo zeal.
Now, possibly.
I
that goes back to my whole argument of I'm not sure what their stances and positions are on Halo 4. Sorry, what were you saying?
I feel like the Halo community is too stuck on the whole, oh, does it feel like Halo thing. We're always like just concerned about like, does it feel like Halo, quote unquote. I feel like that's just like the main thing in people's minds for like years and years now. And I think it's just kind of it's this topic that kind of goes nowhere. And it doesn't even need to go anywhere because like the games are always good every year or every whatever, you know, however they come out. And yeah, it's like a moot point at this point, I feel. The whole, like, does it feel like Halo thing? Of course it does.
You get that with a lot of games, though.
Example?
I hate to use COD as an example, but you have the feeling of COD where it's very fast-paced. You have that feeling of you can either surprise someone and just suck and they can turn around and shoot you. I don't know. There's every game series has a feel to it. I don't really know how to describe it other than that, but I'm assuming everyone kind of understands what I'm going with. And since Halo 1, you've always had that feeling of your super soldier in the future kind of feel to it. And it's a very Halo 4 multiplayer is fast-paced, but not overly aggressive to the point where it really deters people away from it, like, in our opinions, COD does.
Uh-huh.
So, and there's a very unique balance to the game in terms of weapon and play styles and just being able to hop online with friends and have a good time. So yeah. I'm probably butchering the explanation of trying to get out here.
No, that's all right. Yeah. But
just saying that they're giving good comments about Halo 4 I'm hoping for all the doubters out there of 343 handling Halo that they kind of come around and at least give Halo a chance. Don't just straight up say, oh, well, Halo's not with Bungie anymore, or what we've seen so far, or what I'm assuming is going to make Halo 4 bad. You need to give it some time. Wait till the game is closer to launch date, where you're going to have as many details as possible. Then try to make as unbiased of a decision as you can. Granted, we're all gamers. We're going to be biased in every way and shape and form that we want to. But I would say wait until you have more information and then make the judgment of whether or not you're going to like the game. And even then, if you have a friend that buys it, try it with a friend. And if you like it, then you can get your own copy. And then if you don't like it, well, there's plenty of other games on Xbox that you can play.
Yeah. I think it'll be a mega hit. You know?
I hope for Reach. It needs to be bigger than Reach.
Yeah, no, I think it'll certainly spark a renewed interest in Halo. Because, like, yeah, Battlefield's Battlefield. That has this niche. But that's not even... There's not even going to be a new Battlefield this year. They just have, like, a whole year of DLC planned for that. Call of Duty... Black Ops 2 this year, probably, but I still feel like Call of Duty's on its way out, just because people are realizing, like, after Modern Warfare 3, it's really the same thing every year. Gears of War is kind of like, you know, that's kind of over-ish now, whatever. And so, basically, Halo is still thriving as a series, as a bright future as a series. And, you know, Halo 3 was so popular, and Halo 4 is the follow-up now. It's kind of back to the main series, you know, quote-unquote, and... You know, I just think that'll attract a lot of people. They're not going to be like, oh, what is this Reach? Right? What is this? Are they, oh, Halo 4. Oh, like, sequel to that game I loved a couple of years ago, Halo 3. And, you know, it won't have things like Armor Lock, etc. Like, as far as gameplay, it just seems really solid. And so, if they can just nail the gameplay and just the whole tone of the game, right, it could just... You know, it could cause a big resurgence in Halo's popularity in the whole gaming industry that it hasn't seen since, like, Halo 3's launch or something.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of the Halo 3 crowd kind of getting some appeal with Halo 4 as well.
Yeah.
Where some people weren't necessarily attracted to Reach, but...
Yeah. It's not as gritty looking as Reach. Like we were saying a bunch of episodes ago... You know, the graphics are spectacular. Like, it captures, like, the, you know, the fine level of detail that Reach had and everything. But it kind of brings back Halo 3's very colorful, like, bright, vibrant, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
So detailed and vibrant and colorful. It just looks very gorgeous, very reminiscent of Halo 3, but, like, a modern, you know, next-gen Halo 3.
Right. Which I don't think 343 is really doing anything wrong at this point. I think they're doing pretty much everything right in terms of releasing or being careful on what information they're releasing to the public so far. We definitely don't want everything out at once, and granted, that's what people say they want, but I mean, we kind of know better and know that having the information slowly trickle out is going to be the way to bring people in. So that's just marketing 101 for anything, really. But we'll get our information right as soon as 343 feels like they need to release something else. And I'm willing to bet that we'll see a group of Halo 4 related information probably out once a month. What would you think of that? Kind of have like a bulk,
you know,
of...
I don't know if it'll be constant. You know, they might have, you know, lately we've been kind of getting like a large burst of information that might slow down, and then it'll pick up again, you know, in the summer, then slow down. You know, it's kind of like on and off, you know, maybe not constant, just kind of here, you know, here and there. And then, like, the, you know, they really, like, released, you know, a lot more right before, you know, like, in the middle and late October, they'll release a bunch, and they'll start the big marketing campaign and stuff, and the TV spots and all that.
Because, well, this week, the information came out kind of in a trickle. Granted, it was preceded by the whole Game Informer leak, but then there was this trickle of news that came off of the Game Informer website almost once a day, where there is at least one or two different articles.
Right.
So, let's see. The SparkCast definitely cleared a lot of things up. One of the things that a lot of people who are concerned about Firefight not coming back is that they basically went on there and said that if you're a big fan of Firefight, the way they have designed Spartan Ops, that you won't be disappointed. So I'm guessing what's going to happen with the Spartan Ops stuff is there's going to be Firefight elements in there with the whole missions things that they're doing. So I don't know how this is going to work out with having, what is it, every week is a new episode?
And every week is a new episode.
Then every 5 weeks is a season.
That has, every week is a new episode that has, like, one new story cutscene with 5 missions.
Oh, that's now, what it is. All right.
I'm just concerned about how long these missions... How long are these missions going to be? Are they going to be, like... You know, is one Spartan Ops mission going to be like half of a, you know, single player campaign mission, or will it be as big as one single player campaign mission, or will it be, you know, will they be really precise, right? So it's like, you know, 5 Spartan Ops, you know, is like one Spartan Ops would be like 1/5 of a single player campaign mission. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Is it going to be like, you know, are these missions going to be like I think of like the Call of Duty Spec Ops, like these stupid little, you know, 5-minute, like, defend this thing, you know, kill some enemies, oh, good job, it's done, like, here's your high score, like, just stupid stuff like that. Like, I hope it's not. I hope each Spartan Ops mission is fairly large in scope.
I think one of the reasons why they're doing this over just bringing Firefight straight back is because from the Firefight that we had in Halo 3 ODST to the Firefight that we had in Reach, there was a big dropout in popularity, and I'm guessing 343 has been messing around with the idea of changing Firefight in a certain way, and maybe they've hit the magic bullet. Granted, they said in the podcast, and anyone's going to say this, that they may have found the answer to what we're looking for, even though we don't know exactly what we're looking for. Yeah. And developers always kind of have that catchphrase that they use. It's like, we just found something that we know you guys are looking for that you don't even know you're looking for in the game. And granted, when the game comes out, we'll figure out if they were right or not. But one of the things that they mentioned in the podcast was that there's going to be a convergence between the Spartan Ops and the campaign.
Okay.
So this, is there even a classification for the Infinity yet, or do we just know it as some as the largest?
Yeah, it's just like this large mega ship. Like, it's like, you know, or it's city in space kind of thing.
There's no classification that 343 is publicly announced for it that I'm aware of.
Uh huh.
What would you even call something like that?
Mega ship.
I mean, we have frigates, which are basically the battle-ready ships. I don't know. I can't think of any other class of ships off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyways, so those two storylines will converge somehow after all of these Spartan Ops series that comes out. And then the question is, after that's done, it's supposed to basically repeat? So I'm wondering. And this is kind of taking a stance from terms of Firefight. With Firefight, you can play any map anytime you want. But with these Spartan Ops missions, you're limited to a set of missions that you can do. So after this season, will the season just go on in the the multiplayer stuff, and you can go back and do a custom game with the quote-unquote unlocked missions. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure as you buy the missions with the Spartan Ops missions with Spartan points, you'll keep them in some kind of, you know, Spartan Ops menu, right?
They didn't say you had to buy the missions.
I'm pretty sure they said that. The Spartan Ops missions will be released onto the matchmaking store, you know, each week, and then you buy
it was free,
the. Because free is because you're not paying real money. You're buying the Spartan Ops missions with your Spartan points, with your matchmaking currency. It's supposed to be a stimulus to get people to keep playing matchmaking. Keep playing matchmaking, your points, you buy the missions, et cetera, like, and that system works well.
I don't remember them saying anything about.
We'll just look it up. You're not paying real money for it. You're paying the matchmaking currency, which I think is a genius idea. I think that's a fantastic idea that, you know, appeals to everyone.
A big turnoff, actually. Having to buy. Because, I mean, when you think of the whole credits thing, you think of armor and custom stuff that's going to not. It's going to enhance the game. It's not going to functionally make the game dependent on your credits. So having the whole idea of buying ops with Spartan points doesn't quite make sense.
No, it makes sense. Like I said, they want to keep people staying on Halo 4 and coming back to Halo 4 constantly.
And but the thing is, if you have to go like into multiplayer just to earn these Spartan points, and then you have to spend the Spartan points to unlock these ops, there's no point.
What do you mean there's no point? You want the Spartan Ops missions because they're cool. So it's going to be a stimulus to get people to go into matchmaking and play more matchmaking and get more Spartan points. It keeps the matchmaking alive.
But matchmaking is already alive. But
it's keeping it alive longer. It doesn't die early on like Reaches did.
The problem wasn't with matchmaking in Reach, though. It was with getting people to do the campaigns and the firefights. It wasn't. The Reach multiplayer's never had an issue with keeping people.
It didn't keep nearly as many people as Halo 3 did. Halo 3 had a longer, more active.
Yeah, but I don't think that's for the same reasons. I think that's just because of how people viewed Reach overall. I don't think that really has anything to do with it.
So Halo 3 had a longer lifespan just because the Halo 3 was a superior game. Like Reach just wasn't.
I wouldn't use
the
word superior. I would say that Halo Reach was very different from the other Halo games. And with the introduction of armor abilities and bloom and stuff, it turned a lot of people off. I think the multiplayer mechanics was more of a turnoff than not necessarily having the whole credit system in place.
Well, let's think about your perspective. Say the Spartan Ops missions did not require any matchmaking currency to buy. Everyone just got them for free every week. What would be anyone's incentive as far as, like, you know, the ranking and the getting the virtual things, right? What would be the incentive to go play matchmaking? There wouldn't be as many people in matchmaking with the free Spartan Ops as there would be if it cost the matchmaking currency.
I don't follow.
Look, if you give the Spartan Ops missions for free, as opposed to making people have to buy them with the matchmaking currency, in the version where they're free, there's not going to be as many people in matchmaking.
But then you get the whole case of people playing multiplayer strictly to get the Spartan points and not play to actually play for the to have fun. I mean, people do that for.
I think they have fun. I think they have fun in the process. I mean, they wouldn't have bought the game if they wouldn't be having fun.
But you have people now that are strictly in there to get the challenges done, and they're not necessarily in there to play for the game. They're just in there to get the credits. And I think
that is the fun to them. The reward in the game is the fun. You have to understand that part.
Well, I've talked to a few friends who have gone on matchmaking quite a bit, and it's a turnoff sometimes because they don't necessarily play as a team and it ruins the experience sometimes. So, well, I mean,
what's a turnoff? The challenges?
People strictly going for the challenges instead of actually playing for an objective game type, for example.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a case-to-case thing. I mean, that's when you're just being a bad team player.
But
if you want to get back to the fun debate, I mean, I would go for challenges all the time. I don't go for challenges so much anymore because I've realized that just playing a bunch of BTB heavies get you way more credits than doing the challenges. Hint, hint. but when I would go for challenges a lot, I went for them, but I was having fun at the same time in the process because I'm playing a video game. I'm already having fun. The challenges are just extra.
Yeah, I guess it is case by case, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Send a comment to us.
Yeah. Discuss. Go on the forums and discuss this. How about that?
That works.
Yeah.
So what do you think of this whole convergence thing at having the Spartan Fours meet up with the Chief?
That's cool. You know, maybe like a cameo or, you know, something like that. Yeah.
So that makes me wonder if there's a meeting up of the Spartan Fours and Master Chief somehow. There's basically going to be a quote-unquote campaign extension, I'm guessing, or is it just going to be like how would that fit in? Because you have the campaign for Halo 4, which is involved around Master Chief, and then when you decide to have this convergence, do you extend the campaign, or does Master Chief somehow cameo into these Spartan Ops missions?
Probably
the latter, I would guess.
Probably be this one event in the universe where in the campaign you play from the Chief's perspective. Maybe he's at a certain part of it, you know, certain perspective, and then one of the Spartan Ops missions is like the Spartan Force perspective of this like event. But like, I mean, it's not like you'd be fighting side by side necessarily, because that'd be like doing the same thing twice. You know, just different like perspectives of the same event. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
It's probably something like that, right?
That's an interesting way to do it. Didn't really think about it that way.
First, it was like
how it was in Black Ops.
I was thinking more along the lines of Gears of War.
Well, I haven't played a little bit. Gears,
you know how, like, when you're playing Gears of War campaign,
it gets to those parts where it's like, I haven't really played it.
Okay. Well, in the Gears of War games, every now and then, you know, you're going through one of the levels, and there'll be a part where it's like, Marcus, do you wanna go through the street? You and Dom go through the street, and you know, we'll cover you guys from the roof, or do you guys want to like do the, you know, the vice versa, cover us from the roof as we go through the street, like something like that.
Oh, those. Okay, I know.
Yeah, like about. those like choices every now and then, like something like that. You know, like just like the same event from two different perspectives.
Hmm.
So, you know, something similar.
Okay. But that would mean that if you went through the campaign, you could almost get... You would see the end result of the Spartan Ops before they even started.
No, not necessarily. It's like, okay, middle of the single player camp. Okay, so it's like single player campaign. You know, first half is Master Chief doing his thing. Middle of it, he meets up with the Spartan Fours, you know, randomly.
They didn't say it intertwines where there's crisscross over the campaign and the Spec Ops. They said it converges, which means that it's converging to a final point at the end.
Okay, well, they could still do that, but from different perspectives.
But in that case, the perspectives would have to be disparate. Have to be separate. And yes, you could be in the same battle, but you wouldn't be able to really know about the other side, or you could... I guess you could know that they were there, but you wouldn't be able to go into much detail on what the battle was.
Well, no, it's like a Gears of War thing. Like, same battle. You know, some guys are on the street, some guys are on the roof. But it's the same event from different perspectives. They, you know, obviously it's kind of a smaller scale of that idea, but you know, they could, in Halo, the Halo 4, they could do that kind of same thing, same event, different perspectives, but from, you know, on a larger scale.
Hmm.
You know.
I guess.
We'll see what they do.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So did you listen to the Sparkcast yet?
No, I've not. I'm sorry. I've been very busy with school.
Well, I guess you know about that they have Sprint permanently.
Yeah, basic standard, yeah.
So one of the things that they implemented with Sprint is that whenever you're getting shot, you actually run slower when you're sprinting. So it makes for those, and this is kind of what I've heard from an MLG standpoint, so take this with a grain of salt, but from what I can remember, they took Sprint out because it was easy to just run away from a firefight if you're getting shot and duck out, and if someone else had a different armor loadout, you could basically escape getting killed. But apparently now, when you get shot, you're running slower. And this would affect you if you're running towards someone. And the example they used was if you try to sprint towards someone and get the melee on them first. And this would be non to you, but if you get the melee on them first and they would try to melee you back, then you basically just get the double beatdown.
Oh.
So with this new system that they have Sprint, you can get shot at and you would actually run slower, so it'd be at a disadvantage to you to just sprint straight towards an enemy. And same thing as running away. And that's kind of the closest example I can think of that happening is in Team Fortress 2 when you have the heavy and you're using Natasha. Whenever you get shot whenever you shoot someone with Natasha, they slow down in movement. So it would be, I guess, similar to that in terms of something I can closely relate it to. Also, for the Forerunner vision, they say it only is effective at a certain range, and you can it emits some kind of audible sound that you can actually tell if someone's using it or not. So it's not really a godlike armor ability where you can just see through every parts of the map in multiplayer and see where everyone is. They've definitely balanced it out, or it sounds like they've balanced it out in a way that it's actually what's the word I'm looking for? It can be balanced out by other armor abilities, I guess. I don't know. It's late. I can't think straight anymore.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, what I want to say about the sprint thing, the MLG types who don't like sprint for the reasons you stated. Well, see, MLG people, I know you mainly like your BR four shot and your back smack, and that's about, you know, your entire skill set. But there is a tactical maneuver, both in real life battles and fictional battles, called retreating. when you know you're going to lose, you retreat for the purpose of self-preservation, so you can possibly launch a counteroffensive at a later point. This is a very smart move in battles.
I think they're aware of that.
when you're facing imminent doom, and it's not only honorable, but it's also smart when the time, you know, calls for it. So, sprint is a good thing to have in a game.
Yeah.
And it's a very viable tactic in battles. Now, go on.
Right. I think the way that they're implementing in Halo 4, though, is the right way to do it. Because, if you're getting shot in real life, you're going to slow down.
Yeah, no, yeah, I like the realism of it, yes.
So, I would definitely see MLG endorsing sprint for Halo 4. I don't think... Well, depending on how 343 does it, I don't even know if they can disable it. Maybe they might be able to. I don't know.
Oh, they want to, trust me.
I don't know. I mean, we had Bravo on last show, and he's keeping an open mind about it and being optimistic about it.
Mm-hmm.
And 343, it sounds like they're definitely keeping the customizability options open for custom games. And on the podcast, Frankie even said that for tournaments, you will be able to have every armor customization unlocked. So there will be kind of this profile that you build up as you're playing multiplayer and stuff that you can unlock for your online Spartan. But then in tournament situations, you'll actually be able to go in and unlock all of these extra features that they're putting into the game that you would normally unlock with Spartan points.
Oh, okay.
So that's, I believe, just another thing that 343 is giving the community tools to do with. And it's not just MLG that does tournaments. There's plenty of other places out there. Like if we were to do a tournament, we could specify that stuff as well. And there's other clans that host tournaments. So this is more of a community tool than anything else. And I'm pretty sure we're going to see a lot of other community-driven features in Halo 4 as more details come out. But we'll just have to see what happens. All right. Yeah. So, again, this was kind of a slow wrap-up of the Game Informer stuff that came out over the past week. We do have a couple of submissions that we want to read along with some voicemails, so we will go ahead.
Sounds fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I know, right? So we'll go ahead and play some voicemails for you guys, and we'll comment on them as we go.
Hey, Podtacular. This is Jay Lee, and I am a Xbox Live user and a fan of the show. I've been listening since episode 150, and I've got a couple things I would like to tell you guys. It is 2:35 a.m. on 3/26/2012, and I have noticed something strange, and I don't know if this is official or not, but I went on Halo 3 after listening to your show episode 279, non-information, and went to play Halo 3 since you guys were talking about that. And the Halo 3 servers are not working, and it won't let me connect to Xbox Live on there. I don't know why this is or what's going on, but it won't let me. And it's sort of strange is that we believe that there was supposed to be a thing on April 7th, I believe you guys said, that people are supposed to get back on and play Halo 3 for, you know, a final time, or if they were going to shut down the forums. You guys didn't know that right at the moment, but there's that. And my second part of my question is, I was on the Podtacular forums, and I was trying to download all the old episodes. And once you get to episode, I believe it's 12 or 15, a lot of them give you the 404 can't download message, and I really wanted to listen to those ones, but that's about it. You may want to talk about Keith about the whole Halo 3 situation or whoever is in charge of that. I was just giving you a little bit of an update, so have a nice day. Go frag some trucks. Tra-la-la.
All right, so I'm not exactly sure where he got the whole talk to Keith thing, because Keith's just another podcaster like us. He doesn't have any affiliation with 343, actually. But I'm guessing, and this is after the fact that the Halo 3 thing went really well, but I'm guessing it was probably just a downtime of the Halo 3 servers. They might have been doing some maintenance with the transition from Bungie to 343 with the stats and everything. So there was probably some downtime that they were fixing up the Halo 3 servers, or maybe that part of the Xbox Live service was down for some reason. But as far as I know, the repopulate Halo 3 day went off pretty well without a hitch. So unfortunately, I was at PAX, so I did not get to attend. I don't think you made it either, Daph, did you?
The what?
The Halo 3 thing on April 7th?
I think I did. Well,
did you?
Was that the repopulate Halo 3?
Yeah.
I think I played a couple games with friends. It was like two or three games.
All right. Were there a lot of people on the servers, or?
I wasn't really checking, to be honest, but I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. Probably, you know, a little more than usual, you know?
Yeah. I was actually on this weekend just to go through some stuff, and there was 60,000 plus 70,000 players on Halo 3.
Fantastic.
So it's still being played quite a bit, and you can still get games on there and most every playlist.
Oh, yeah. Whereas I was playing it, I was like, this is really fun. This brings back great memories. But, man, does this feel stiff compared to Halo Reach?
Especially the BR.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That feels ancient compared to the DMR. And now we have the BR and the DMR in Halo 4.
Oh. Hey, face off, huh?
Well, in the podcast...
Let's settle this debate here and now, huh?
Well, in the podcast, they clarified that DMR is a long mid to long range weapon. And that you're going to, if you do a battle with a BR versus DMR at long range, DMR is likely to win. On the other hand, with a BR, BR is mid to short range, having that it's has a lower zoom than the DMR does. At closer range, the BR is likely to win. And apparently with the DMR, they have a fixed rate of fire. So it's more balanced with the BR. So it's going to be interesting. I can see a lot of people holding DMR-BR combos now. I'm interested to see how the game flow goes with that.
Right. Well,
because you usually have, whenever you're in Reach, you usually have the DMR and then some secondary weapon that's not necessarily considered as powerful as the DMR, or unless you're holding like a power weapon like sniper or rockets, but those are in a class of their own. So having two similarly classed weapons that are highly utilized in just about every Halo game is going to make for an interesting multiplayer dynamic, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, I would almost imagine that we'll see. And this is all depending on how the map weapons are laid out and what other weapons are on the map. But I would almost bet that other than BR and DMR weapon pickups, we won't see many other weapon pickups other than power weapons on the map. So you might not see, you probably will see a lesser use of the plasma pistol, plasma rifle, needler. I would say most Covenant weapons you would probably rarely see now.
Probably.
And then you would only have the power weapons like the rocket launcher, sniper rifle, and shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be interesting to see where this goes.
Oh, yes. Well, after playing Halo 3, and that felt really stiff compared to Reach, I was wondering, is Reach going to feel stiff after we play a lot of Halo 4? I'm not sure if that is necessarily going to be the case. Because I think we've reached an age in gaming as a whole where, you know, it's kind of like it's reaching a plateau, right? The games only get so advanced and look so good and play so good, you know.
Until the next gen of consoles, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think relatively, you know, Reach will always feel, like, fairly good. I mean, you know, because it's just like a, you know, the controls feel flexible. Granted, we haven't played Halo 4, but I think Reach will hold up a little better than Halo 3 will, because, you know, how high-tech Reach is, the engine and all that.
Well, one of the things that they mentioned on the Sparkcast was that they were trying to make the game to where the pace of the game is kept at a high rate of people running around and finding people and getting shot. So I would probably say, once we get our hands on Halo 4, Halo Reach might feel stiff. And I think that's probably just the natural evolution of the franchise, to be honest. Because you're basically just taking the multiplayer that you have from the previous games and you're trying to improve on it any way you can. And with these internal playtests that they're doing, hopefully they're finding out what things to keep to make the game progress faster, yet still be fun and maintain a balance, and what things are detracting from the experience and to take out.
Yeah.
So I would assume that with everything that they're doing in terms of multiplayer and trying to get everything crammed in there, that they think that we know what they know what we want. That
I don't
it's going
think...
to be. I think it's going to be It's the natural progression to multiplayer, but it's probably going to be in the end probably one of the better multiplayers of the Halo universe. Because it's going to bring elements from every Halo game. Yeah, you okay there?
Yeah. Like I said, I think Reach will, in the long run, hold up better than Halo 3 has held up. Halo 3, there was no sprinting. You just walk around fast. Reach, there's, you know, sprint, there's jetpack, etc. Like, it just feels, like, more fluid as far as controls. So I think it'll hold up, you know, fairly well. I mean, obviously, it might feel like a little stiff compared to Halo 4, but in general, like, in the big picture of Halo games, it won't feel, like, that stiff. It'll hold up fairly well, you know?
Okay, I see what you mean.
Maybe if you want to compare, but it's like in the general big picture. At the end of the day, it's still fairly decent as far as
the Halo 3
flexibility of controls.
Right. So on a game mechanics level, yes, Reach would be more sustainable. But in terms of maps, Halo 3 maps are still a lot more fun to play than Reach. Like purely based on the maps that we were given.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they are with Halo 4. They're not making the mistake of pulling stuff straight from the campaign again. So, I'm very happy about that, and a lot of other people are very happy about that decision as well. And it doesn't look like we're going to get a remake of anything. Now we'll probably get a remake for DLC, but at least this is why. Heard and talked about with some of the people from the Waypoint forums and the Waypoint mods is that if we're lucky, we might have one remake in the
sword-based remake. Woo!
In the initial release of Halo 4. But I don't think we're going to see any remake of any kind for a while for Halo. Because they spend a lot of time and effort doing the remakes for Anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So they're my guess is they're taking time off and they'll focus on DLC remakes.
Yeah.
Alright, so let's go on to our next voicemail.
Hey guys, just wanted to call and have one quick little question. I remember you guys talking from the last podcast about Halo Reach and how its multiplayer maps were the same from campaign. But I was just thinking, like, we already saw, like, an iteration of this back from Halo 3 ODST. We didn't have any new maps, but we had the firefight maps that they were all from the campaign, which I thought was kind of interesting. But listening to you guys, it sounds like you love the firefight. So I guess multiplayer can be different from firefight, but to me, I mean, the maps didn't really matter all that much, but I just kind of wanted to know your guys' opinion on that. But hey, thanks for the great job, and love listening to you more and more. So talk to you later.
All right. So in terms of having the multiplayer maps based off a campaign, yes, ODST did do that, but you have to think of it in terms of the game style you're playing. In the campaign, you're used to shooting up the Covenant, and then firefight, you're basically doing the exact same thing. Whereas in multiplayer, you're going off other human players in a competitive space. And I think Reach just proved that you really can't do that for multiplayer. There has to be some distinction between the two. And campaign maps are designed to tell a story and make a story flow in a certain way. And I don't think that's easily convertible into a multiplayer space. Granted, there are some instances where it works. I mean, you have Reflection that actually was a remake of a Halo multiplayer map from Halo 2. But maps like Zealot and Countdown are good cases for Halo Reach, but then you have other maps like Spire and Boneyard, which you don't even play on half the map. Most of the time, and they just are cases against for having the campaign maps in Reach.
Yeah.
And you can see the campaign maps done in the Reach Firefight, and those work really well for Firefight. So I think you're right when you say that, yes, there are two different experiences with multiplayer and Firefight. Even though Firefight is, yes, it's technically multiplayer, but it's multiplayer in that you're fighting off AI Covenant, not fighting against human players.
Right.
I don't know. Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I think with Spire and Boneyard, etc., is like they're making the maps bigger, but they're not increasing the number of players on the map. Right. It's just stayed at 16. Now, I'm not supporting, you know, expanding, you know, from 16 to, you know, host a larger number of players in a multiplayer match. I'm just saying, you know, it's like there's this gap, like making the maps bigger but not increasing the number of players. So, of course, you're going to have, you know, a lot of vacant parts of the map. That's kind of the issue right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are the two big ones that just stick out to me.
Well, I still feel like, as far as Spire, I still feel like what they should have done on Spire was, when you're playing Invasion on Spire, like in the first round, where the Spartans spawn,
mm-hmm.
right there, that end of the map,
yeah,
with like nothing there, but then like a Falcon spawns later. They should have gone into Forge, made like a huge, you know, Forge base like right there, put, you know, scatter some teleporters all over the map for faster getting around the map. Just make some buildings and stuff. Just make the whole map like viable as far as like, you know, places to go and structures to defend and stuff. And you're having no one at the end of the map because there's like nothing there but a bunch of rocks and just like nothing. Put a big base there. Put some vehicles there. Put some stuff there, and then you'll get people to go there, and, you know, some teleporters to get around faster.
I don't know if that would necessarily change the flow of the game. That would change spawning, but the flow of the game would still be centralized.
I'm just saying, I think like if there was a big base over there with some vehicles and some power weapons, there'd be a little more activity over there.
Yes, but
that's all.
Yeah. I'm just not sure how much that would change the focus of the game.
Well, maybe if it's a Slayer match, right? The focus is just kill anyone wherever you are. Then what they could have done, maybe like an assault, like an assault game type, like the base that they constructed, that empty end, could have the the 4 minute round. Like, you know, this is the offensive round, and then the bomb's in that base, and you got to get it up to the top of the fire and plant it and make it blow up, and then, you know, they win, and they could have done something like that, or they could have just, you know, done some one flag CTF or just something. I mean, there's the possibilities, or, you know, there's a lot of possibilities.
Right.
Food for thought.
Exactly. All right, we have one more voicemail for you guys.
Hello, my name is Skullman4587. This summer of 2012, I am going to make a podcast that actually I am just going to make with a friend of mine. And it's just going to be sort of like yours, but more like on the mediocre and failing side of things. And I wanted to know if you would help me with advertising it through your podcast. If you can, then that would be great. Because I just want to get my thoughts out there. It's going to be pretty much exactly like your podcast, but as I just said before, more failing and not know what we're doing. I've never made a podcast before. It would be no competition for you guys. You guys will definitely be getting more views than us. I just wanted it for advertisement purposes. Okay? Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, if you want to, I guess, quote unquote, advertise, what you just did was the best way to do it. You can call our voicemail and leave a message, or you can send in a submission, which we will read on the show. And although I would suggest that you give your show a title, although you probably haven't got one yet, and a website when you have your details finalized, and go ahead and call back in. And for the rest of you guys, if you also want to send in your submissions via voicemail, you may do so. We have a new voicemail number since our old one expired. No fancy acronyms on it, so you're just going to have to listen to this again if you need the number. And there's also a post I put up a while back when I got the new number that has a number on it. You can just do a search on the homepage and you'll find it. But the number you can call is 206-339-6937. And you can leave anything that's Halo-related, and we play just about every single one of them on the show. So go ahead and do that, and do that now.
Woo.
That's right, woo. Voicemails for the win.
Woo.
I can tell you're so enthused.
Come on, guys, call in. All right, get those calls in.
We want to hear your lovely voices.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, well, we have two submissions, well, technically four, but from two different people.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you go ahead and take the first one since it's short, and I will bear the burden of doing the longer ones.
All right. Simnar writes in, "Hola, Podtech people, Simnar here. I've come to say I really love the show. Glad to hear G. Lewis back. Also, congrats to Daffling for becoming the newest host. So, in short, love the show. Keep up the good work and keep on armor locking the Covenant." Yay, thank you.
Yay. All right. Our next submitter has three different submissions. And some of these are from... Actually, all of these were over the past 2 weeks or a week and a half. So bear with me as we read through these. So these are from Duty Bound, and he writes in, "So here I am commenting again. Most of my previous submissions seem to be irrelevant now." He did have two more that I just went ahead and cut out. "I'm glad to hear that the game still feels Halo. At least that's what we have been told. I agree and feel that a bit how unknown the random or power weapon spawns sound noob friendly. It doesn't matter if the timer is the same or not. The fact that a rocket launcher won't always spawn in the same place sounds like it's going to be as bad as armor lock. Almost all Team Slayer games, I find myself fighting for a power weapon at every spawn time. Knowing when and where vehicles and weapons will spawn is a huge key factor in all my games. This brings me to an interesting point. If there is a forge, does this mean that when I put down a weapon, it might spawn somewhere else during my custom game, or do I have to do even more work and put down more heal markers or random spawn points? To go further in depth, if 343 adds custom maps to the playlist, will we have to put down these weapons and spawn keys if they exist? I have a hard enough time setting up spawn points for players, let alone spawn times for weapons and vehicles." I think in terms of the random weapons, it's probably going to be something you can configure in custom game types. They are going to have the classic type where you put a weapon down, it's going to spawn there. This is just an extra feature that they're adding in that I don't think they wouldn't take something away like that. And the whole random weapon thing is also countered by the fact that you actually get, and we don't know the details on this. This is just kind of what they've told us through the Sparkcast, but you do get kind of a forewarning that a weapon is coming down, so you do have a little time to react and get into position for a power weapon. So it's not just out of the blue rockets drop and someone can just randomly pick them up and start going on a killing spree. There's enough warning, supposedly, that you can, if you're playing well enough, you can get your team set up to get your power weapons. And I don't think it really affects the game too much if you're using sound strategy. In terms of forging capabilities, I have no freaking clue. I would assume that you can probably set weapon spawn points and you would have weapon classes that would spawn at these points. So take just a regular spawn marker and have it tied to these weapons. So you could basically do either a weapon, you could like place a weapon, or you can have a spawn area for heavy weapons, would be my guess. What do you think, Daft?
Well, you know, if they drop down and drop pods on the map, you know, the kind of variable is, will it show people that we're drops? Like, is it going to drop down randomly? And you know, you'll see it if you're there, but no one else will see it if they're not there. Or if, like, when it drops down, everyone will see it on their screen, and they're all going to run to it, and then Team Slayer will just deteriorate into just people just fighting over these weapon drops constantly, and that would be stupid.
Well, in terms of competitive Halo, it's always been about map control.
Yes.
In terms of the weapon drops for these, you'll actually get, from what it sounds like, a warning of where a weapon will drop. And then once it drops, you actually, if you look at some of the videos that they have, there's icons of what weapon it is and where it is on the map. So if you take the ordnance drops from the Halo Reach Firefight and the Invasion Slayer campaigns, or game types, sorry, those just show you where the weapons are. But for the ordnance in Halo 4, it's actually going to show you the weapon. And then once someone picks up the weapon, it's gone, and then you know it's gone. So everyone on the map can see the ordnance waypoint for the weapon that dropped. And then when someone picks it up, it's finally gone. And I think that's part of the balancing aspect of the randomness of the weapon drop. So it just doesn't randomly drop in one place, and if you happen to be there, you get it. Everyone knows that the weapon is going to drop. And it's just a matter of getting a position and getting that weapon before anyone else does. Moving on, this is still his first post. To reiterate my point about Halo Reach's multiplayer, there is nothing wrong with 100% Bloom. Like I said, I can never figure out the battle rifle, but the DMR works just fine. If what is true and the MLG players are trying to use the DMR like a BR, then that's their own fault, not the game's. And I think most of us agree on that point. Bloom is a mechanic of Halo Reach, and you play for the mechanic of the game. So, yeah, there's the whole issue of if you spam the trigger, you could get lucky and land a headshot. But again, that's the nature of the game.
Right.
I mean, in Halo 1, you had 3-shot pistol. Yes, it was overpowered, but you dealt with it. So, yeah. That's that. Going on, I find myself falling into the trap of get overexcited about something different in Halo 4 that wasn't in Halo 1, 2, or 3 and freak out and complain only to sleep on it and decide that I have to see the game to know if it's shit or not. Honestly, though, until random weapon spawns and what was meant by no firefight, Halo 4 is making me more worried than excited. Well, hopefully some of the stuff that we talked about tonight has cleared up some of that worry that you have. Hopefully. On regards to the elites and multiplayer, Halo 3 got it wrong. Elites should always have been how they are in Reach, not the same as Spartans. Honestly, Invasion Slayer is terrible. Unless the team just sucks, Spartans will usually win only because there are better human weapons. I mean, how are you going to beat a team with 2 or more snipers when all you have is a focus rifle? Yeah, that weapon sucks. That weapon really does suck.
It's awful.
Yeah. I would guess that they're not going to bring back the focus rifle. I would hope they bring back the beam rifle. Or some really close equivalent to it.
They could just have both, right? They're having both the DMR and the battle rifle, and why not have both the beam rifle and the focus rifle, right?
I guess technically you could do that.
Technically. And who's to say that they won't have both the Halo 3 carbine and then like the Halo Reach needle rifle together, right?
Someone said that?
No, who's to say that they won't have both
the
carbine and the needle rifle? I mean, they're having both the BR and the DMR, like it's like the Covenant equivalent of that, basically.
I guess so.
And then there's going to be some new human weapon called the Assault Carbine, whatever that is.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not...
We'll see, right, what that is.
Sure, yeah. We'll have to wait and see what that's like. Going on, B2B needs to be called Heavies because that is all anyone votes for now. I want to play something other than Heavies, and I most certainly want to play a map other than Hemorrhage. Those two selections are picked by far 80% of the time. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Well, playing over the weekend, and for the past 2 weeks or so, I've played a fair amount of BTB. I will agree that Heavies gets voted a lot, and Heavies is kind of fun, I will say. But I haven't seen many votes for Hemorrhage, so maybe with the introduction of Heavies and the custom forge maps that they have for Heavies, it's probably different.
I see Hemorrhage voted in all the time. That map...
In BTB?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the signature map of BTB by far.
See, over the past two or three weeks that I've played, I've only seen it vote for twice. So maybe it was just the parties I was in.
Perhaps.
Perchance. Are you being 343 now? Perhaps.
Perhaps. Maybe not. Maybe we'll do it, maybe we won't.
Wrapping up his first post. Well, I've voiced my opinion about four or five times now and probably have the mailbag market cornered. This should be interesting. Well, you still have two more to go. So, do you want to read the next one from him? It's pretty short.
Absolutely.
Or do you want me to read it because you're tired?
I'll read it.
All right.
Number three?
Number two.
Oh, boy. So I just listened to 343 Sparkcast, and it was exactly what they needed to do. After listening to the podcast, I felt reassured and confident in their abilities to make Halo 4 great. I was just waiting for them to give us an explanation for the, quote, random weapon spawns, unquote. My understanding is that it is like the ordinances that are dropped from the sky during a firefight. If they contain a random power weapon, initial weapon spawns will still be there. We got this one so wrong as to think that random weapon spawns meant different spots. What it really means is exactly how it's worded. Random weapon spawn. As in there might be a rocket launcher or there might be an energy sword. I can honestly say that I was very concerned about Halo 4, but now I'm pleasantly surprised. If rather be that than expecting really epic things and being disappointed, I can't wait for Halo 4 anymore. And then he gets into something.
That's a jigsaw. He does the applicable point.
Dribble, yeah.
Yeah. So, definitely seems like the Sparkcast made a lot of people happy with all the information that we got for Halo 4. And Frankie even went to say on the podcast that someone posted somewhere random weapon spawns, and it didn't necessarily say in the article random weapon spawns in the Game Informer magazine. Granted, I don't have the issue. I can't download it, so I don't know. But Frankie is calling them ordnance drops. So they are essentially the same thing as they were in Firefight for Reach, in that they're going to be the whole weapon drop pod things. So
Mike, you can call them whatever he wants to call them.
Well, what I yes. say. Yeah. But, I mean, ordnance is already tied with ordnance in Halo Reach, so that it makes more sense to people.
Mm-hmm.
So his last post, and this will wrap up the show for the night, is as follows. So to add to my voicemail I sent you, I don't remember getting a voicemail from you.
Me?
No, Duty Bound.
Oh.
Unless he went by a different name.
Maybe.
Anyways, what have you thought about the Firefly map so far? I believe all the ODST maps were from... this is probably the campaign one that we listened to. I believe all the ODST maps were from campaign, and Halo Reach has all but one map from the campaign. Unearth is the only map that was custom-built just for Firefight and wasn't seen anywhere in the campaign. Do you guys like that map or not? It's all right. You really need a team of people to go in to play it and have fun with it. It's really frustrating solo.
Uh-huh.
Have you played Unearth much?
I love Unearth. That's such a fun map. I have great memories of that map. You know, I think when I play that map, I think of weekday afternoons, just doing some Firefight challenges, playing that map while, you know, possibly having a chat with a friend at an Xbox Live party, or maybe casually listening to a podcast. Just a really casual, like, lazy afternoon. I mean, I have some, it's probably pretty nostalgic. I have some fond memories of that map. I mean, it was my, you know, my go-to map
that I voted for in Score Attack for like months and months and months, you know, before installation 04 was even like thought of.
Right.
So, even though I play this map way more than any other Firefight map at this point, it technically is the newest content as opposed to the Reach build-in map. So I guess I'll vote for this one again, right? It's new content.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Going on to say, personally, I don't like it based on the spawn points. Actually, I really don't like Reach's Firefight much at all. I think you're not alone in that assessment.
Well, it's all right.
It's all right, but it's not as popular as ODST.
Well, I think part of that was ODST's. It felt more dire, right? It was harder. I think we can say that for a fact. ODST's was a bit harder.
Yeah.
You need to be a little more serious, a little more, you know, aware of your surroundings, which it kind of made it more fun, playing with friends and stuff.
I think the AI in ODST was a little bit more aggressive than it was in Reach as well.
Right. What was it doing, Reach? Just wander around aimlessly, right?
Well, I think with Reach, when they were trying to basically support more enemies, I guess. I'm not exactly sure.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, the lag issues were still present, so I don't know if you can really say much there. Going on, I honestly hate that the Covenant spawns right out in the open. I liked ODST because Firefight was more realistic. The enemies came out of the doors and were dropped off from the Phantoms. They're dropped off from the Phantoms on Earth most of the time. And I guess, yeah, with the whole spawning in the open, it does feel a little awkward. I'm not sure if you can do much about that. Because the only map that comes off my head easily is a Corvette, where all the enemies do spawn either out the doors or via drop. I don't think the Firefight maps are really conducive to the whole spawning in corners and then coming out, which Duty does make a good point, where it does feel more realistic because they're coming out of doors and places, and it does feel like you're actually being or trying to be overrun by the Covenant, where you're not just being dropped into battle with a bunch of Covenant around you.
Right. So,
I guess, yeah, he does.
Yeah, so let's drop Race into our own ship hangar.
Well, if we're controlling the Corvette and they want to just get rid of people, I mean. But yeah, that is kind of weird.
Let's possibly blow out the airlock and kill ourselves in the process, right? Unless those are like special forces Covenant that are specifically told, right, they're debriefed. This is potentially a suicide mission. You might not be coming back, so you know, be prepared for that. Right.
Yeah. Easy there, Slick.
Of course, for the elites, that'd be like all honorable, right? Like the whole, right, dying for the cause.
Right. And he goes on to say,
because they're based off of World War II Imperial Japan.
Okay.
No, Egan, ODST EJY kind of made that analogy that the elites, they're like Imperial Japan during World War II. You know, the whole honor thing, you know, honor and dying. You know, the culture is just so similar, right? So honor based. It's like after we beat the elites, some of them, like, we befriend them. It's like the U.S. befriending Japan, and you know, we help each other out. Well, mainly, you know, we help the elites out,
right?
Like how we gave the Japanese a constitution. He made a really good post. There's like a lot of similarities between the two.
All right.
So,
I'll see if I can find that, and if I find it, I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Along with, I'll also put in some of the articles from Game Informer that we talked about in the show notes as well. Finishing off the post, the only map that currently does this is a Corvette, yeah, is what I just mentioned. You're lucky to grab the rocket launcher, or even luckier if a jackal dropped a sniper from their perch on top of the roof. I think he's... Yeah, okay, he went back to ODST now. Going back to ODST Firefight, for me, it feels like going from playing easy to playing mythic. One thing that really does bug me, is although the ending... the editing options for Firefight and Reach are completely amazing, I still can't fight Buggers. Why the hell are they in campaign twice but not in Firefight? That always confused me. I don't know. Maybe that was the whole issue with not having the places where they could fly in from, and just having to spawn in random locations would seem even more odd. I guess that's the closest thing I could think of why they wouldn't put Buggers in Firefight for Reach. Keep up the fantastic podcast, Duty Bound. P.S. I agree, MLG should have one match for each game type they play. That makes things a lot more interesting to watch. P.P.S. I find it slightly ironic that you commented on how 343 was giving non-informative answers to the community questions from your last non-informative podcast. Okay.
Oh.
I'm not sure how to take that. I don't know. I'm confused. Can someone dissect this for me? I'm confused on what he's saying. If 343 was giving non-information and we were talking about non-information, then we wouldn't have any information to give, I guess. I'm confused. Anyways, if you want to send in a message to me clarifying what you mean by that, feel free. On a side note, Daft and I are tired. It's 1 a.m. We're heading off. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back on Thursday to talk about...
Wait.
What?
So I was just in the bathroom for a sec. Listeners, please go to the forums and join in the fabulous discussion about politics, Halo 4, other upcoming games this year, the community at large, etc.
Assassin's Creed 3.
Yes. Check out the main page.
Yes.
Etc.
Oh, and before I forget, in reply to that first voicemail that we played, I forgot to mention. I thought I deleted the episode thread in the forums for the episodes. I might not have. I'll have to go back and check tomorrow after I post this show. But if you go through the podcast feed on the homepage, I believe 1 through 100 are linked correctly. The posts don't look right yet, but I believe they are linked correctly to the right media files. So you can go there and get episodes 1 through 100, and then episodes 101 through 183, I believe, are missing. Or they're not linked correctly at the moment. So if you need your podcast film, you can do that. And I'm also thinking that once we get to episode 300, I'm going to just make a complete listing post that you can just download all the shows from if you want to, like, have a zip file that you can download. Or possibly even a torrent. I'm not sure. Still thinking about it.
Oh, okay.
Still thinking about it.
Right.
Like I was saying, we will have another show here in a couple days, and we'll talk about Halo 4 campaign and the Game Informer article that got released today, or actually it's now yesterday. And we will see you guys next time.
See you later.
And hopefully Daft will survive till the next show.
Hopefully.
Because that sounds like a horrible cough.
That's alright.
Alright. Peace, guys.
See ya.